Today's daf is daf Chof Beis. We're starting on Chof Aleph on the Beis. We're in the middle of the sugyas of the Shniyos. What are the Shniyos Derabbanan? So now Rav Meshar Shemitu Sanya had asked Rav Papa yesterday what the din would be legabe extending upwards arayas that indeed do have a first generation equivalent, such as the first generation, your father's brother's wife, or the brothers from the same father, whether we would extend that upwards to your grandfather or great-grandfather's brother's wife from the same brother, or whether we would perhaps say that we need to have a direct line. So do we say...
Direct. So do we say polydarata? Because of the fact that we're talking already about the mixing of fraternity in here? Or do we say that, no, maybe there's a general rule that dorot don't bother us. As long as the first generation is deoraita, we'll extend it upwards or downwards. Well, I don't understand, he said to him. Tashma, I mean, didn't we just have yesterday, we had a list of shniyot. It didn't list these as shniyot. I mean, if these were shniyot, we should have said, the same way that your father's sister is asura, your grandfather's sister is asura. That's a classic shniya, and we leave it out. So obviously, the din is that it's not a shniya, that's all. No, that doesn't mean any way. You think that this is a complete list of the shniya? It's not a complete list. Ton of a shia. What makes you say that it's not a complete list? I mean, we don't just leave out one case. And it was a... So if this is the only case, are there other cases that we left out that you're saying it's not a complete list? My shear, the high shear, what else was left out that we should leave out after this case? Shear shniot of Rebbe Chiya. We're going to see that there's a whole list of other shniyos that come from Rebbe Chiya in a braita. Now, one of them is mentioned here in this braita that Rav was talking about. So maybe this case also was left out. I don't know. Certainly possible. Amemar was machshir, the case of Eshet Achi Avi Aviv and Achot Avi Aviv. So now, basically, the questions that were raised over here by Rav Papi, Eshet Achi Avi Av, Achot Avi Av, Mahu, he went ahead on Amemar and was machshir Beferish Achot Avi Av, so that the grandfather's sister, fine. The grandfather's brother's wife, fine. We don't extend the idea of aunthood all the way up there. Formerly revealed to Ravashi, L'didi chazi lishniot mar berei deravana. I saw the private list. Now, it's true that there wasn't a heter to write down these things for publication at that time. It's Tarsha Shabal Peh. But I saw the private list that mar berei deravana was quoted as having given over this Talmidim. So I found a notebook, one of the Talmidim. And it said over there that there are 16 shniot, according to that list. I didn't list them all, it just said that Rabba Baravana said that there are 16 isurim when it comes to the shniot. Now, I assume that those 16 are as follows. The 8 that we listed yesterday, which is what Rav was talking about, that's the Tmanya de Matnita. We're going to get to the Vei Rebbe Chiya in a moment, it's another 6, and that makes 14, that makes, with these two, that makes the 16. Where else will we come up with the 16? We'd only have 14. Right? So it must be Hanach Tarte that Amema is claiming are okay, which is your grandfather's sister, your grandfather's brother's wife. They must have been included, because I don't see how else you're going to get up to 16. So my love, Tzmari Nemat Nita, Shitave Reb Chiya, Vanech Tarte, together equals 16. So he said to him, first of all, that's a proof. I mean, L'taymech Shiv Sahabi. You're forgetting one anyway. Yesterday we asked what the din was of Eshet Achiya Eim Minayim, which was not listed, not in the Reb Chiya list, not in the list that we had yesterday, the 8. That list said only Eshet Achi Ha'ein Min Ha'av. Remember, we were wondering whether that's just like a cute parallel or whether actually Eshet Achi Ha'ein Min Ha'ein is the same as Eshet Achi Ha'ein Min Ha'av. And we ended up saying, because of the rule of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shilat, that since that is a single marriage relationship, it only involves one marriage. Whenever an erev involves only one marriage, then we take the male equivalent to the female in cases where the male can be represented by his own wife. She becomes the female. That was the rule. So that means that actually there's one missing, and one that we were ready to accept. So either you're going to be one extra, or you're going to be one short. So as far as the notebook is concerned, you got a problem relying on that notebook. Because either the notebook should have said 17 to include the two cases over here that amemas that are not included, or it should be actually consistent with amema, and it should have said 15. But 16 dechlal doesn't make sense. That I can tell you. So let's not jump to conclusions. So the time is that this notebook is reliable. There's 17 because you've also got eshet achia aim in aim. And yesterday we said that that's usher. Yesterday you were ready to go along with the distinction, a very important distinction that we made in the rule of Rabbi Yehuda bar Shilat, that we said that that rule does apply in this case. So then how come there's not 17? That doesn't bother me. Hello, gosh. I mean, the reason that I say that there's 16 is because the two cases that we just spoke about, the Eshet Achia via Av, and the Achot Avia Av that we just raised over here, that Amema claimed was Mutter, and that Rapapi was asking, is it Mutter, isn't it Mutter, where the first generation does have an Isser. And I'm claiming that there's an extent. That's all one thing, basically. I mean, that's really the Damian Lada. I mean, it's the same thing. It means your great aunt. That's what it means. So whether it's your great aunt, it's really the sister of your grandfather, or it's the great aunt, in a sense, it's the wife of the brother of your grandfather. What's the difference? It's your great aunt. That's all that counts. Fine, I understand, but I don't count that as two separate cases. It works out to be the same thing because it's simply an extension of the Diraisa concept of aunthood, your father's sister or your father's brother's wife. So we go up now for another generation. Your grandfather's sister, or your grandfather's brother's wife. What's the difference? So that's one case. Equals 16. Ha. So not everything works out, but Amemar can't be right. I mean, we had this list already. There was a Kabbalah yet through. I found it in the notebook. I mean, certainly you're not going to doubt a piece of paper and a bottle that came bobbing up. I mean, God knows how long it's been out there.
Is your grandfather's wife also done the same thing? Grandfather's wife.
No, that we spoke about. That was the wife is that. That's direct. That's considered to
so
be direct.
Sister is a bigger fetish than grandfather's wife.
Of course, for the same reason. You're introducing fraternity instead of the direct marriage to a parent. Eshet Aviv, Eshet Avi Aviv. That's fraternity. That was the question Rav Papi was raising. In a fraternal relationship, do we also go up or generations? Okay, Amemar said that we don't. We're trying to bring now from this miraculous list of Marbrei Ravana that somehow this list defines now the final tally, 16. So therefore, you got 16. But anyway, look, let's get back to my problem, okay? And don't start arguing with me. I found this list, okay? It's a list in a bottle, and it had 16 on it. On Marley, so he said to him, look, let me ask you about this holy list. Suppose the holy list would have said that they're mutter. Would you have said, look, the holy list said that it's mutter? No way. You only like the holy list because it says that it's us, okay? So, Iyav iksiva lehet teira. Would you rely on it that it's a heter? Because you would have said, Marbrei Ravana Michatim, it's got Marbrei Ravana's personal signature on it, that this was an accurate description of the shir that he gave. You would have said, some kid who was in the shir wrote it down, he didn't know what he was talking about. So now all of a sudden, because it's usher, now suddenly it's holy. So hashtanami to simli sur, I got news for you. There's no difference whether it's Isra Eter. Show me the signature of Marbrei Ravana that this is fell from the sky with the Chatima HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Emes. It's a list. You found a list. Well, you asked me Kasha. Kasha from a list. Mela.
No.
Yeah, of course.
Love
Marbrei Ravana Chatima. Okay, now what about this? We've been talking about Rabbi Chiya's list. We just don't know what it is. So here's Rabbi Chiya's list. Tell me very briefly. Extend one generation onwards from your daughter and your son. So shlishi shebibno veshebibito. Extend one generation onwards from ben ishto and bat ishto. So in other words, the Araisa said, your granddaughter from your daughter, your granddaughter from your son, your wife's granddaughter from a daughter, and your wife's granddaughter from a son. Let's make that great-granddaughter. So your great-granddaughter from your granddaughter, your daughter, or your great-granddaughter from your son. Your wife's great-granddaughter. Let's add another generation, a third generation. Now, it's actually a fourth generation, right? But we're not including now the Ishto. The third generation, meaning downwards, three generations downward. Revi'i, a fourth generation upwards. Revi'i shebechami v'shebechamoto. That's also a shnia. Now, the thing is that the revi'i shebechami v'shebechamoto simply means to extend what is currently Isha ubita ubat bita. There's nowhere where it says in the Torah, don't marry your mother-in-law. The problem is, if you do marry your mother-in-law, then your wife becomes the daughter of a woman that you're married to. And Isha ubita, you can't marry, right? The Torah never says, don't marry your grandmother-in-law. But if you do, it ends up that the woman that you're married to is now the granddaughter, bat bita or bat bina, of the woman that you just married. So therefore, basically, it extends in both directions. And it's all the same issur. So when he says, okay, and let's extend that upwards, one generation, there he calls it fourth generation. He doesn't really mean fourth generation. It's obvious that this is a mirror image. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask why in this direction does he call it fourth generation, and in the down direction he doesn't call it fourth generation, he calls it third generation. But basically all that the Reb Chiya Braita is doing is it's saying, look, there's a group of really one type of thing, which is should be extended onward for one generation. Now that group is a granddaughter, in other words, a daughter's daughter or a son's daughter. Now it happens to be that there can be a daughter's daughter of your own from a woman that you raped but didn't marry. There could be a same case daughter's daughter or daughter's son's or son's daughter from a woman that you married that isn't your own. So fine, those two things, it's true. The Torah asks in both of those cases, whether it's your personal biological daughter or son daughter, or whether it's the woman that you're legally married to's daughter and it's your step-granddaughter. That's the same thing. Now, in the inverse, we have the same relationship. Well, of course, we don't have the same relationship. You can't get a mother-in-law through a rape, so that wouldn't count. But thank heavens, there are advantages. You basically have the same relationship in the other direction, because if you now marry the mother-in-law. So if you marry the mother-in-law, so now you will the only question where you get a problem is if you were actually married. Otherwise, there's no problem. If you're not taking them, there's no iser. So there's only the case of two, your mother-in-law's mother or your father-in-law's mother. That would be the only way it would be iser if you're married to that woman. And the truth is, that explains the difference between fourth generation and third generation. It's very simple. Where we're talking about going down could be your biological granddaughter, and we're saying, make that your great-granddaughter. It could be your biological granddaughter through your son, make that your great-granddaughter, biological, through your son, you see? So we include that, then we would say, obviously, that's three generations. I can include yourself, and that's three generations. My daughter, her daughter, now we're going to make one more generation, and her daughter, three generations. But when I go up, since the only case that I will ever have a mother-in-law is where I married the woman, that's the only case I'm going to have a problem, The marriage is the first step. That's generation one. Okay, go up one generation, that's generation two. So go up another generation, that's generation three, that's all the horizon. Now, if I'm extending it, I'm extending it to the fourth generation. So that explains. Now, it's true that in one of the cases where it's not my biological daughter, are you okay? Necrophilia. Everybody's alive.
Great grandmother.
They're alive and kicking. I mean, you're talking about what they you know, they're
2013.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exciting youthful relationships. Now. Now, it's true that one of the cases where it's not your biological daughter's daughter, it's the woman that you married daughter's daughter, you'd say, so in that case we should make it fourth generation, because then it does count that you married this woman. But already once the same exact situation is true, if it's your own daughter, we're not going to start saying, okay, let's extend your daughter to the third generation, your wife's daughter to the fourth generation. That's okay, so we already say three generations will extend it downwards to mean your daughter's daughter's daughter. And four generation upward, meaning your wife's mother's mother mother. Which is the same thing as saying your wife's daughter's daughter's daughter. But one will call three generations because it's possible to have a biological extension downward, but it's not possible to have a biological extension upwards. It only goes because you married her. That's your problem of the mother-in-law. Otherwise, what's the problem? The fact that you married the grandmother of the woman that you raped, who cares? I mean, there's no relationship to the woman that you raped, right? Okay. So that's basically, let's just see that inside. Umarle Ravina, the Ravashi, hey, how come the phraseology is different? Mashallah, mala de choshiva leishto. How come when you were counting the generations going up to your in-laws, your mother-in-law, there you counted your wife as the first generation, so that the extension became a fourth generation extension. Umaisha de la Mata, how come when you're going downwards, you made it only a third generation extension, and you did not count your wife as step one? Says the Gemara, because, look, going up, the Isser can only come through your wife. So your wife is step one. Now let's go up to her mother, her grandmother, her great-grandmother. Okay, so that's three extra steps. That's four. So therefore, since mikolach ishto ka'ati chashivla, you have to include her as step number one. So this becomes a fourth step. Masha enkein lamata. When you're going downwards, we may not even to be talking about a relative to your wife. I mean, it is a relative to your wife because it happens to be that you impregnated her, but she's not your wife. So therefore, the Isser has nothing to do with her. It's your daughter that we're talking about. Your granddaughter we're talking about. So over there, we don't have to take her into consideration. If you could have had those kids without her, they'd still be your kids, and you'd be Isser. So it's not coming the Isser mikoyach ishtoi, it's coming mikocho shelo. So why make an extra step? Yeah, but, I mean, but what about the case where it isn't your granddaughter? It's your ben ishto or bat ishto. I mean, over there, yisur mikoach ishto ka'ati. Obviously, the case of the wife's granddaughter. So why don't you include the wife as step number one, and the granddaughter, the great granddaughter, is now step number four? I mean, it's just, oh, that's because I did a ton of shlosha dorot. Lamata didei, look, I mean, because you've agreed that I have to use third generation in reference to him, the lo chashva, we can't include there the wife because she's irrelevant. So tonanami shalosh doros lamata didei lo chashva. I mean, over there, even though lamaisa, I mean, you're saying technically speaking, we could view her as step number one. We're not going to start blabbing just to make things completely. I mean, the point is, going up, it's always fourth step. Going down, it's very often third step. So we'll call it third step. Omele Ravashi Lerif Kahana. I got another question. I mean, when it came to the original list, the assumption was that unless we have a good reason to say otherwise, we will extend a generational Isser ad infinitum. So your grandmother is no different than your great-grandmother, it's the same as your great-great-grandmother, we view it all as the same relationship. Yet when we're talking about over here Rabbi Chiyo, who's talking about your granddaughter and great-granddaughter, he seems to be saying the next generation. Does he mean dafka the next generation? We don't go downwards ad infinitum. When we came to your daughter-in-law, we did. We said kalat beno, the kalat ben beno, ad sof kalat dorot. So what's the deal over here with these six women that we're talking about? Do we mean only one generation extra up and down in this case? Well, I could understand the up, because over there it's through the marriage to your wife. It's okay. But the down, Rav said yesterday, there's only four of the Shniot that have a Hefsek. None others. And apparently that means that the Shniot of Rabbi Chia do not have a Hefsek. They're too low. No, that doesn't prove anything. I mean, Rav was relating to the Braita that we had quoted there, which were the first eight of the Shniot. So saying out of the eight, there's four that have a Hefsek. But maybe all of Rabbi Chiyah's have a Hefsek. Well, the Tashma, look at the language of Rabbi Chiyah. I mean, Rabbi Chiyah said, extend to Dor Shalishi, and extend to Dor Revi'i. I mean, doesn't that mean Dafka Shalishi? Dafka Revi'i, when he's talking about your granddaughter or your great mother-in-law, grandmother-in-law. So Shlishivish Revi'i Dafka, but no more than that. Not necessarily. I mean, when he's identifying the prime Shnia. The prime Shnia is the first extension, the generation. So we said Amimo. Amimo is the Shnia. When we say afterwards, oh, and by the way, en la hefsek, we don't say, oh, you only said Amimo. You didn't say Amimo. This is the way that he's referring to Amimo, so to speak. Because he's saying, your great-granddaughter, meaning third generation, that's what I'm calling it, third generation. I don't mean to say only third generation, extensions only by one generation. I the language certainly doesn't prove it. Amalei l'rava. Amalei rava l'rav Nachman. Look at this. Guy comes in from Eretz Yisrael, thinks he's on the top of the world. The Omar Boom b'Maharava that they asked in Eretz Yisrael, whether Gazru Shniot Bagirim or Lo Gazru Shniot Bagirim. I mean, we never even raised that issue. I mean, look, the fact is when a ger becomes a ger, a goy becomes a ger, he doesn't have any relatives anymore because he's like a teenage shenayot. However, it's true that there is a gezeira that we don't want people to say that someone who became Jewish is somehow less holy than when he was non-Jewish. So while he was a goy, he was being careful about these incestuous relationships. Now they'll say, look at this, the moment he becomes Jewish, that's just like the Jews, isn't it? Find some kind of rabbinic heter. So now he's able to sleep with his mother. I mean, that's outrageous. So therefore, we made a gezeira that the arayas, that would have been arayas had he not been viewed as a teenage shenayot, remain asurot. So he said, that's a crazy shaila, because hashta uma erva gufa ilav shelo yomru ba'im mikdushah hamura lekdushah kalah lo gazru bo rabbana. I mean, that indeed doesn't make any sense, a question like that. The very erva itself is like a complete extension out of nowhere, simply because it doesn't look good. So you're going to say now, shniris mi boy, but we should have question as to whether we should now make a gzeira to that gzeira of the shniris. Doesn't make any sense, bichlal. I don't see that we even have to worry about that. Omrav Nachman. If it wouldn't be that we want to avoid goyim saying, oh, look at this.
When he was a goy,
he was religious. Now all of a sudden he's promiscuous. It's what happens when you become Jewish. So therefore we made that takar. We're certainly not going to ask him a shnias. I mean, the shnias didn't apply bichlal to the goyim. I mean, so why are we make now shnias? I mean, it makes no sense to apply to shnias.
So we don't want people.
What does this have to do with it?
There was no Isis
Nias
when he was a
guy. Omer Nachman, Gerim, you know, once you raise the issue, I mean, I assume that something that comes our way is meant for a reason to come our way, despite the fact that I think the question that was raised was irrelevant. Let's not waste our time and talk about something that is relevant. Since now they've come our way, I'd like to say something about this issue. Name Abu Milta. Achin min ha'ein. If you have now two geirim who happen to be brothers from a common mother, lo ya'idu, they shall not be made one for the other, l'chatchila, because we treat them as if they are related. However, if they are going to go ahead and be made, it's not that you may do edutan edut. To be ikra din ager is kikat and shenolad. We're just trying to encourage his relationships because we're of the sugya of erva. So lechatchila, we don't want it to look like he's got no relationships. But if lemaisa they end up, we cannot ignore the edus is a kosher edus. But if they're only related from a father, and this is very different from the way we have it, Zira, in the terms of all of the halachas until now, the relationship from the father was more chomer. But the goy, who is related, he's now a ger, and he's related to his brother only from a father, he's not related at all. So over there, they weren't gozer bichlal, and they can be made even lechatchila.
Brothers also
get. Yeah, obviously, otherwise he couldn't be, he couldn't be made. A meimar omer. Now that's not why. It's because the Torah basically has canceled kirva. It says zirmatsu seems zirmatam. It's not because we don't know. Even if we could discover it, the Torah doesn't view the relationship through a common father as being meaningful when it comes to going.
They don't have Yerusha.
No connections there. So says Amema, Afilachi mina in. This is not true. They can go right ahead because Arias is one issue, Adis is another issue, and they're not going to be confused. Why? I don't understand. Why is it that we're going to? I mean, we definitely have to treat them lechumra in a case. Let's say a ger would be married. Here we're talking about afilu b'di avad, right? So a ger would be married now to his sister. His sister also became a Gioret. They're both from the same mother. And he marries his sister as a Jew. The din is he has to divorce her. I mean, he has to give her a get because it's a kosher marriage because she's not really his sister. But nonetheless, because of this halacha, we treat them as sister and brother. So why don't we need to treat them as brother and brother? But for the same reason. And says the Gemara, because the two don't overlap at all, you see. Erva lekol nesura. Everybody chooses a wife, and they get married. I mean, if we're going to allow them to have that relationship, I mean, people are going to say that, well, I mean, maybe bidi avad, you can maintain a woman like that as a Jew also. I mean, so therefore, we don't want to rely on ger being kakot and shenei ladomi. Masha inkein, what edus? People are going to say because the bezdin accepted edus. Edus is basically a din in bezdin. So if you're going to be matir, brothers, even the chatchila from the same father, from the same mother, who are gerim, nobody is going to come to be matir because of that. Arias, bezdin, knows perfectly well what the din is. And that it's a din that is based on Gershon it got, yeah, kika tanshino ladami.
So, what's that look like by Ger then?
That you can be made from one to the other.
No, but we got the Erva.
That you can't take an Erva and you have to divorce or even be the Avad.
So, everything that applies to.
No, only the Iker Erva is bina aim.
And for the Av, it's
a sex thing? The Av is not because of a sveka. The Torah said the Farish Av is not considered to be a relationship. We don't view them as being related from an Av.
And that's now?
Right. I'm waiting for. Have you gotten out of practice? Mishi yeshlo ach mikol makom zokeket eshet achiv liyibum. Now somebody's got a brother. I don't care where that brother came from, okay? But wherever he came from, we may not even want to talk about him. But wherever he came from, he is still going to be mechayev, the wife of his deceased brother, to accept Yibum. And if he's the kind of brother you don't want to talk about, that you're not even allowed to marry, he'll still be mezakeker to chalitza. V'yachivu l'chol davar, and he's related to you whether you like it or not, for everything. I'm going to discuss what do you mean for everything, Magabi, what is that? The only time that a brother is not a brother is chutz v'mish yeshu ach min ashivcha o min ha'ovedet kochavi, where he has a common father, but the mother is a goya, or the mother was a shivcha, and therefore is not considered to be miyucheset to him, because the maternity defines his yichus. Mishi yesh lo ben mikom akom, and the brother, the deceased brother, who has a son that nobody wants to know about and hear about, and he's been hidden for years, but that doesn't matter. The fact is, it's his son. Poter eshet aviv min ayibum. It's not going to be chayiv. It's not going to be any kind of chayiv. What's more, that son who has been hidden in an orphanage in Italy for many years, that son who now finds his father and finally punches him in the nose, is going to be chayiv al makatov al kilolato. He will be chayiv for punching his father in the nose. And he's beno lechol davar, which we're going to see what that means. Chutz, unless that son became his son through a shivcho or an ovedet kochavim. Now, when you say bechol makom, I mean, how illegitimate is this illegitimate boy? Latuye mai. Om Ravina, latuye mamzer. He's totally, he's really a mamzer.
He's a bastard.
And, no, not a bastard. He's a mamzer.
A mamzer.
That means that it comes from an incestuous union of Karis and so on, right?
He may be a bastard.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be a problem.
That's
not a problem. So that would latir bamzer. Is there a chiddush? I mean, just because somebody's a mamzer, so therefore he's not a brother. I mean, what does one have to do with the other? Is it a pshita achivu? I mean, why? I need a mishnah to tell me it's something obvious? No. Mao de tema leilif afu afu meyakov. Remember that we had back at the beginning of Masechta. How do we know we're talking about achim mina av? So we said, Shneimas are Achim, Bnei Avinu. So, I mean, certainly, Lahalan, by Yaakov Avinu, all of the brothers were Ksherim. So, Ma Lahalan Ksherim, Velo Psulim. Maybe the definition, therefore, of Kieshu Achim Yachtav is Achim on the same level as Yaakov Avinu's children. And here too it should be Ksherim, Velo Psulim. So, therefore, we need the Mishnah to teach us, Kamash Balan, that that's not a consideration. Hey, you know what? Sounds like it ought to be a consideration. Actually, if we learn it out, legabe that halacha, why don't we learn it out, legabe this halacha? Ve'ema hachinami. In fact, we did pattern all of the dinim on Bnei Yaakov. So why all of a sudden do we have a right to say that, but not when it comes to Mamzerut, that we weren't discussing? Well, why not? I'll tell you why. Because, kiven dele'inin yibu mifta nifta, we're going to see that we have a riot from the posik. That when it comes to defining descendants of the deceased brother, we definitely will include children that are psulim, and that he's attempting to hide. And therefore, and we learn that out from a pasuk, so since it's a child to potter from Yibum, it would also be a child to be mizakek liyibum. And therefore, miskak nami zakik. It also creates a chiev of Yibum for his, the wife of the deceased brother, that the ach hamamzer is not going to be different than the ben hamamzer. She had a ben hamamzer, she wouldn't have needed yibum, so now she's got an ach hamamzer, she does require yibum. The Torah is viewing the relationships, the legitimacy of the relationship as being irrelevant to the sugya of yibum. Yeah, of course, he can only do chalitza. Is mezakek liyibum, the way we get out of the yibum is through chalitza.
You don't have the same thing of
the he's only an iser lav. Remember, we had this whole discussion previous dot. That was the question. It depends if you hold of the yivimto, the extra yivimto, then midyaraisa. But we show that that's not true because we said if he did yibum, he would pater. So then we're left with the gzeira b'yirishena to b'yishnia. But that b'yikr, there really is a yivibum. On a mamzer, it's very interesting that there's a shita that says that the reason that we don't do yibum nowadays is because people are so promiscuous that we never know if Ben Hamel.
Never know what?
We never know that he died without a son.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that's, if you had Doros that were Zohir usually in Arayah, so, you know, okay, we'd find out that. But, I mean, nowadays the guy goes on a business trip, he fathers, you know, he fathers a kid somewhere. How are we ever going to know? So therefore we don't do, no, we'll just do Chalitza, but we're Lechumra. But we can't do Yibam because maybe there's no Chiyuv of Yibam. We're going to rely on this guy's morals to go ahead and be Mater Ishto LeYibam. To be Docha and Isser the Arisa of Erva.
If he does have a kid that nobody knows about, and they do Ibum, is that
it's an Isser of Erva? Yeah, of course. How can we be martyr such a thing? We're going to get there. That's our next piece. The Achivu Lechol Davar. We consider this Mamzer to be your brother. No matter what you think about him, he's your brother. This is a terrible halacha. L'mayofita. So what is it saying that you're saying, look, kol davar? Well, li yorsho. I mean, look, there's a Yerusha. Yerusha, they're going to be Yorish him. So if you die, unfortunately, he's going to be Yorish you through your father. And if he dies, so that's okay. You don't mind getting the mamzer's money. I mean, that's but you will be Yorish him as well. And not only that, but when it comes, if he's a Kohen, you're a Kohen, this Kohen has a Mamzer for a brother, he would be Metame for that Mamzer. Let's go to the funeral. Metameva. But again, isn't that obvious? I mean, Pshita, Achivu. Ah, it's not so posh. That piece is not so posh, you see, because look. It says in that same Pasuk, when it's saying which individuals are going to be Metame to, so Sa'akadai to Hamina. Since it says in that pasuk, ki im l'sheiro ha-karov elav, li'imo, ula'avi, v'livno, ula'bito, and so on. Now we darshan, what's the sheiro ha-karov elav? Why didn't it just say, the coin can be metame, li'aviv, and li'imo, li'bno, li'bito, what's the sheiro? So we darshan, sheiro always means shared flesh, right? In the whole parsha of Arayas. The sheiro over here is referring to his wife. Sheirozu ishto. And yet, in the same parsha, it says, lo yitame ba'al ba'amav lehechalo. Meaning what? The strange words. Lo yitame ba'al ba'amav lehechalo. So that's telling me, whatever it's saying, there is a ba'al that should not be metame. Where is that? Yesh ba'al she metame, if his wife dies. Yesh ba'al she eno metame. Okay, so. That if his wife is lahechalo, so then he's not going to be metameter. On the contrary, he's believed to divorce her if she hadn't died. So it's he, and he's not going to have kosher children from her. What's Jack to say that he should go be metameter? The whole relationship was improper according to the Torah. So I might think that since he's not metameter ishto hapsula, so maybe this, by extension, it's in the same sugya, mitamehu la'ach kasher, veinor mitameh la'ach kasher. Because, I mean, the din of sheiro comes in the same pasuk as b'no b'tohu la'achiv. So if one has to be kosher, maybe the achiv has to be kosher. Kamash balan, that that's not the case, and it's, but it's not so pshita. It's actually, you're right. So that's a pshita. How do we know that it's true? Maybe, indeed, we should learn how the ach from the Isha. The Ema Hachinami, no. There's no comparison, because Hatam La Fuke Kaima, the whole idea over here is that what? He's being Matame to his wife, because despite the fact that they share no blood, it's the marriage that makes them related. So what the Torah is saying is, if that marriage itself is meant to be broken up, then it doesn't make sense to say it has the strength that he should be makawalist his kahuna by being metame for her. But what are you going to say? The brotherhood is meant to be broken up? I mean, there's nothing to do about it. It exists. And therefore, why would we learn it out? Look, he's a brother. Nafkamina, how he became her brother is currently irrelevant. You can't say the status of his marriage is currently irrelevant. If she hadn't died, we would have demanded a divorce in Besdin. The best thing would have insisted they divorce her. Then we said, "Chutz b'mi sheyeshlo ach min hashivcha u'min ha'ovedet kochavim." The ovedet kochavim we know, although later the Gemara is going to go into it. But we've already spoken about maternal descent in terms of the what it is that the child is. But the thing about the Shifra, I mean, isn't a Shifra Jewess? Basically, I mean, she has the Fiyuvim. Once, I mean, in order to make her a Shifra, we had to take her to the mikveh, and she had to be mekabelet on herself to be a Shifra. Otherwise, we can't make her a Shifra. So, why isn't that like having a son from a Jew? The reason is my time on. So since it says over there that when the Eved Ivri has a child, or you thought it was his child, from the Shifcha, because that's part of his job, is to impregnate Shifchas for his master, so that the master keeps the children that were essentially his work. So obviously, if she's really Jewish, these are really his kids. What's a child to say her children should be kept by the master? So obviously they're not mityachei sacharav, they're just avodim, which means that they don't have yichus. So ishav yiladeh tiyel adoneh. They are defined as being the masters, and his own relationship is therefore completely irrelevant. So it's basically he's a bank, that's all. He doesn't have any fatherhood. Mishi yeshlo bein mikol makom poter. When you say the child is going to be pottering the mother from Yibam, meaning how much mikol makom? Omer Yehuda, meaning a mamzer. Even though this was a son that is not, it doesn't mean the mother, obviously, in this case, it means the father's wife. This son will potter his father's wife from Yibam, despite the fact that he's a mamzer. Why say that? My time, huh? The Omar Kro Ubein Einlo. The word Ein has in it the mashma'ut of Ein. That is to say, there is nothing at all. And most of this is something of a play on words. In other words, if you're talking about Ein, not at all, then it means Ein. Okay, find any type of possible son. And that's included, because that's not I. The reason that we do this is because even in the context of Yibum, we have the negative written without a yud. Me'ein yabmi. He says no. Well, he didn't say no with a yud, he said no without a yud. So when we write it with a yud, it already has a deeper meaning of ayin. Absolutely nothing. Nothingness. That's what ayin means. There's a lot of different pollution on the interrelationship of the words. But some say that the yud is meant to be a remiss to the Aramaic in, which is yes. And therefore, ayin would mean yes or no, which is ayin. I think that's a little far-fetched. But, I mean, there's a lot of interesting pollution on where we will darshan. I mean, as Lamaisa, 90% of the places where it's where we use the word no, it's with the yud. So why darshan? Again, some are mechalik that in a place where the Torah needs to tell you what it's talking about, then it should have been careful. If it only meant a kosher child, then it should have said ein lo without the yud. Since it says ein lo with the yud, it means any child, kosher or not kosher. Vechayav al makato, and if he punches that father in the nose for having thrown him off to the orphanage in Italy, then he's going to be fired. Now, why would he be fired? His father is not exactly a very good Jew. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't have had a mamzer. In order to be a mamzer, he would have been sleeping with an erva. That's a big, big, major no-no. I mean, so, isn't the din that if you beat up a father who is not keeping mitzvahs, that you're not chayev? So why does it say you're chayev? We learn that out of v'nasiba amcha lo ta'or. Only if it's someone who's oseh ma'aseh amcha, is there an iser klala. Well, this guy is certainly not oseh ma'aseh amcha. Remember we had the case of back in Chagiga, of the Ganavim who say, well, we didn't touch anything in the house. So we said, well, how are we...
Oh,
so it's because it's talking about both the Shuvah. take an ami, because it says if they were meshuvah. So the same idea over here is, we mean if this father was oza tshuva, and now the mamzer comes along and punches him in the nose, and the heck with your tshuva, should have thought of it before, not after. So, ha'ken ami, kishasa tshuva, and that's the chiddush. Says the Gemara, but wait, how can he do tshuva? I thought we said, v'atzadam shimon b'menashe omer, ezeu mu'uvat lo yecholit kon zehaba ha'erva, v'olid b'mena mamzer. The case over there in the Chagiga was money. So the Ganovim returned the money. But over here, how's he going to return the mamzer? As the answers the Gemara, that doesn't matter, because Oseh Maaseh Amcha is defined as his current status. Tshuva, in terms of his current status, is still possible. I mean, the fact that there was unavoidable results to his previous maisim that now demand kapora, which he can't have, because that you can't take away the impact of what you did as long as that child is walking around. I mean, that's basically always reality's reflection of what you did. But, and the same thing would be true, the Gemara gave another example. He sleeps with a married woman, asks her on her husband. That's a permanent impact. You can't undo that to be mater to her husband. But in terms of right now, is he a tzaddik? Is he an Oseh Maaseh Amcha? Yes, he's an Oseh Maaseh Amcha. Therefore, the mamzer is chayev for punching him in the nose. Okay, we'll have to continue on.